You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
No. This is, I am excited, brother, and I hope
Let's
you are
this.
Too.
I am.
All right. Here we go. First.
Yup.
First Pack to the Future episode of the year commence in 10.
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian, tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight?
That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to the first episode of the Packers 2018-2019 NFL Championship season. We are here. We never went anywhere, though. That's a fun part about it. That's a fun fact we're bringing to you right now, is that we didn't go anywhere. Hopefully you enjoyed all the offseason content, but we are talking about the real shebang, the real shindig. We're in it now. This game on Sunday, it goes into a real life record log, okay, Brian? It's going to be 1-0, number one, first things first. It's
of
against
course.
The Bears, blah. But, dude, we are talking about legit NFL football. We're talking about legit Packers, Green Bay Packers football, man. Come on now, let's go.
Let's go.
Go,
Pack, go. Yeah, that's
Duder.
What's up.
Guys, unfortunately, we have a couple MIAs tonight. Dusty, there's this thing called softball. It goes into the fall sometimes. He's winning a championship right now. It's cool. We love him still. Jordan, he's a school teacher. Sometimes school teachers get busy. It's fine. But we got Brian. You got me. John Jameson, the host. Brian Funfair, the intellect extraordinaire. He didn't go anywhere. He's here. Brian, how are you, my brother?
I'm good, but I feel like Dusty's the actual intellect. I'm just the looks.
We did have this conversation. I mean, but
well, we can never have it enough.
But here's the thing, though, is that I am the furthest thing from an intellect when it comes to the Packers. That I need to establish myself very quickly in the episode that people should not be listening to any word I say about the Packers. Okay, like. This is just rule number one. So I need to establish an intellect for credibility for myself. Okay.
So I have to step in as the intellect. This might get ugly, guys. Stay tuned.
I believe in you, and so do the angels in the outfield, and they're gonna carry you. So don't.
All
so
right.
Don't
let's
you,
do this.
Don't you fret. Okay. Do not.
I
fret.
Never fret. I never fret.
Dude, I don't know about you, man, but there's this lull in the summertime where sports is just like, it's not even a thing. You don't even know what to do with yourself.
You know, people talk about getting seasonal affective disorder in the winter because there's low light and the weather's garbage. Are you like me? Are you the opposite, John? I get seasonal affective disorder when it's not Packer season.
That's exactly when I get it, because the wintertime I'm that weirdo that loves snow.
Yeah, I mean, you see, I go skiing, so at least I'm moving. You go and like sit on a frozen lake for hours on end and try to catch fish. I don't understand that, man.
You don't catch fish, but you catch buzz. Ha! You know.
I joined you once, I remember, and I was like, that was the most miserable experience of my entire life. Was sitting there in the freezing cold in Wisconsin on this lake. And I'm like, John, I went ice fishing with you once, never again.
I got my brother Ben, he literally has Facebook posts in like March about wintertime and about how he wants to like be out on a frozen lake. And I do share those same views, but I just don't express them. But yeah, no. To answer your question though, we're just getting out of that time, and yep. It's the good thing for you guys, the listenership, is that you catch us at our best. You catch us when we're fresh out of very deep, like deep dark areas that no one wants to go, and then all of a sudden, the Packers like a bright cheesehead just appears, and it's like your life is back.
Continue great cheesehead in the sky.
Continue as normal. And so that's what we're doing. And we're getting into season four here of Pack to the Future. I've been blessed to be part of three, and it's only getting better. I love, guys, if you did not follow any of our writers, going into or following them throughout the off season, now is the time to learn about them, because I think every single one of them is great. Brian can talk about them at the end of the episode. He typically does a phenomenal job at that, but I just want to give that a shout out. They did phenomenal work this off season, and we have some huge, amazing stuff coming for you, for the season. And we're all geared up. We're all jacked up. It's time. And you know what? Do you know what it is time for, Brian?
Yo.
It's time for the patented classic Pack to the Future coin toss.
It's back.
It didn't go anywhere. That's a fun fact. it didn't go anywhere. Leaves.
It's always there.
It didn't go anywhere, Brian.
It didn't go anywhere.
The first question I got, because there's two of us, I just get to pick. I think I'm just going to pick. Well, the coin ultimately decides.
It does.
But I have this.
But nobody can see the coin that you're flipping.
Yeah, I have this specially rigged dime. This dime is made in 2014. And it's got.
That was a bad year for dimes, man.
Yeah, it's still pretty shiny, which is cool. I like shiny things. And it's going to pretty much work in my favor. We got two coin toss questions for you guys. And the first one being, will our cornerbacks get more picks than the number of Aaron Rodgers interceptions this season? So if you didn't understand that, which sometimes that's a little bit for my brain to wrap around, essentially, will Aaron Rodgers throw more picks than our cornerbacks get interceptions? I should just say our secondary.
Yeah.
So that is the question. And or we'll leave it at cornerbacks. That is how the question is phrased. So it is cornerbacks. So Brian, right, if I flip the coin and it is tails, our cornerbacks will have more interceptions than Rodgers throws interceptions.
All right.
And it is tails. Brian, the cornerbacks will have more interceptions than Aaron Rodgers has interceptions.
Man, just Josh Jackson alone, by the looks of it, might have more interceptions than Aaron Rodgers throws, man. No, I do think that's the way it'll go. You know, Aaron Rodgers isn't somebody who's prone to interceptions, and we've got some cornerbacks now that are real playmakers. You look at Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson, especially, those guys are playmakers, and you add someone like Tremont Williams to the mix, and, you know, he's not, you know, the speedster he used to be. You know, he was never a, you know, top-end speed guy, but he doesn't have the speed he used to. He might not be as good in coverage as he used to, but if there's one thing that man has done throughout his entire career, that is jump routes. Like, he knows where a quarterback is about to go with the ball, so he's going to have a few himself. And then, you know, just, you know, odd interceptions from anybody else at that point will do the trick. Factor in the, you know, new defensive scheme as well. You know, we're going to take some quarterbacks by surprise. Mitch Trubisky about to go up against a defensive coordinator that he's never played against before. He hasn't seen a whole lot of him, so there's going to be some things that surprise this young quarterback, and you can bet that that's going to force him into a couple mistakes. So the cornerbacks might get more interceptions on Sunday night than Rodgers throws the entire season even. So, yeah, I'm going to say the cornerbacks for sure.
I think this is a tough argue for me personally, but we're going to roll with it. essentially, the Packers secondary has kind of been, you know, maybe the most frustrating group that we've had on the Packers in recent memory. I mean, I think we've had a changing of the tide in the running back game. I think that there's a lot to be hopeful, but I know running backs for a few years was kind of that little lacking area, and some, you know, we talked about edge rush for, I gotta say, about two years in a row now. Two decades in a row. Yeah, you're right. it's never any. But here's the thing, is that we've invested a lot of high draft picks into our secondary, and particularly the corners. And what we're getting out of them is not what we've invested. So with that being said, I know that I'm not gonna say that he's gonna go out there and throw picks, but you know, he's coming off our great goodness lovable guy number 12 at quarterback. He does not throw picks. He's had some games where he's kind of, I think he's let frustration get the best of him, and he's made some un-Aaron Rodgers like plays. Hopefully with the changing of the tide in the whole organization, with some longtime guys that just didn't seem to, you know, fit the mold of our organization are gone now. I think that there's going to be less for Rodgers to be frustrated about. I think there still might be some frustrating points in the season, but all that to say, I think that Rodgers might be in the area when the season's all said and done, maybe around 11 interceptions. And I know that sounds like a pretty high number, but I think given all the facts, and I think that given young receiving, which them alone, maybe just the ball bouncing off their hands the wrong way and falling into a defender's arms might make a cause for some higher interception games than Rodgers might be used to. It wouldn't. So I'm not going to say that all these interceptions are going to be Rodgers' fault. All I'm saying is that he might finish right around 11. And if you're asking, I mean, like, I've heard great things about how Tremont Williams is looking in the preseason. I think that we got a great one in that. I think that Kevin King is going to make a huge step. And the two rookies that are coming in, I have super high expectations for where their careers can go. But to say that everyone's going to put it together and, you know, you're going to have a guy that's going to go out there and just be an absolute ball hawk and get turnovers, we don't know that yet. So that's why I would maybe lean more towards Rodgers throwing more interceptions than what our cornerbacks are going to be able to pull in this year.
All right, man. Not an easy argument to make, but you did it.
Yeah, I thought I did pretty okay.
Didn't, but you can think it.
Hey, should we call it a tie?
Let's call it a tie.
Okay, I'm good with that. All right, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, and our next question is going to involve a player from this week's game, and we will get to that with our guest, one of our Chicago Bears insiders. And that is, will Khalil Mack get more sacks this year than Fackrell, Perry, and Gilbert combined? Whew. Now, Brian.
All right, I'm ready.
If I flip the coin and it's heads, Khalil Mack will not get as many sacks as those guys combined.
Okay.
And goodness gracious, it is heads.
It's heads. All right, so I have Fackrell, Perry, and Gilbert having more.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, once again, let's just talk Reggie Gilbert, man. I mean, preseason points to Reggie Gilbert breaking the single-season sack record this year. So let's just start there. No, but I'm actually expecting some big things out of him. You know, it's not often that a guy who has spent as little time on the field over the course of his young career gets rested at the end of the preseason the way Reggie Gilbert was. That tells me that the defensive coaching staff that's in place now sees a lot in this kid and thinks that he's going to be a major contributor, and they're just waiting to unleash him in the regular season. The way that Mike Pettine sets up his defenses, he ends up getting a lot of free blitzers because he has packages that you're not expecting, and he has formations you're not expecting, and you know that's going to open things up for Gilbert to get in there and get. I mean, he'll probably get 6 or 7 himself. Nick Perry, that's where I waver. Is Nick Perry, if he's healthy and he gets back on the field, I think he's going to have several, you know, close to one every 2 games, I would say, but he has to be healthy for that number to really mean anything. And that's been a really contentious spot for him. So that's the only place that I'm hung up on this. And then Fackrell, you know, he'll get 1 or 2. I don't expect big things out of him, but yeah, I think Reggie Gilbert being the real workhorse of that trio, I think he'll be the one to put them over the top. Mac, I think, will do really well for the Bears. You know, I wish he was a Packer. I was upset when the Bears got him, for sure. I'm not trying to diminish what he'll do at all this year, but you know, I doubt the Bears are just going to, you know, thrust him into a starting position, you know, taking 80, 90% of the snaps right off the bat. You know, they'll probably ease him in. He has to learn this new system. I would expect a good number of sacks out of him and pressures overall, but, you know, we're talking about one guy versus three. Two of those three are borderline starters. So, yeah, I'll take the Packers field on that one.
Yeah, that is the numbers. I mean, the numbers for sure lie in the 3 over the 1. What we're talking about, though, is, you know, unfortunately what we've come across is a pretty solid injury history from Nick Perry. Fackrell stepped in late game situations, kind of almost what you would call garbage time. Mm-hmm. And he's been able to get some sacks. And then Gilbert, he came on super hot last year, and he got some amazing pressure, which a lot of those result in sacks. So it's like those three guys, I mean, given the health of Perry, it would be hard pressed for me to say that Khalil Mack would get more sacks than mm-hmm. all three of those guys. But there are questions to that, and with everything that, you know, has been presented, I do think that Khalil Mack will get more sacks than those guys combined, based on many things, based on the fact that they have a really, really, really solid D coordinator in Chicago, a guy that a lot of Packer fans wanted to bring in this year. Ultimately, we went with Pettine, and you know, Fangio stayed in Chicago, and you can't really do anything about that. He's there. He's got a great defense to work with, which ultimately, you know, could help take some pressure off of Khalil Mack to get the job done. And I mean, just based on the career footnote that he's already had for himself in the league, the guy knows how to get to the quarterback, and mainly it results in sacks for this guy. So the guy is an absolute beast on the field. And say that, you know, Fackrell, Gilbert, and Perry can stay healthy all 16 games, it's easy money Packers on that one. But given the injury history, I gotta go with Mac. Did we just tie again?
I mean, really, we both won because Dusty and Jordan lost. That's the way I'm going to look at it.
I want to look at it that way too.
Yeah,
because
that's what we're going to do.
Because I don't win a lot of these, and I think it's an inside job, to be honest. But I'm not going to stir up fake news before the season even really gets underway. Okay, it's week one. We have way better things to talk about.
Yep.
Mainly like an upcoming game on Sunday night, primetime against the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field to kick off the season. Goodness freaking gracious, Brian.
It's here.
Stakes are high. It would be unbelievable to see the Packers kick this puppy off 1-0. But Brian, truth.
Yo,
we need to hear about a sponsor.
We do. I need, guys, I if need you to. Didn't, you do, you do. This is the first time John is hearing this, by the way. He wanted to keep it a surprise. I could swear that I've told him, but, you know, John's not a great listener.
No.
So here we are. John, a surprise for you. We have a new sponsor at Pack to the Future, Sioux City Jerky. John, it's beef jerky. You love beef jerky. Exactly. Man, this is going to be some of the best beef jerky you've ever had in your entire life. You're going to love this beef jerky as much as you love this amazing podcast that you're listening to right now, people. Sioux City Jerky. They're awesome, man. They've got Asian, bacon, coastline, down home, southwestern styles. They got spicy stuff. They got sweet stuff. They got salty stuff. Check them out. You can get their stuff at SiouxCityJerky.com. There's going to be a link in the description below. Everything they do is made in the U.S., more specifically a Dakota, a South Dakota, Sioux City. Yeah. And if you needed one final nail in the coffin here, a portion of every sale is donated to the Children's Miracle Network. This is a charitable organization, guys. Get your beef jerky from a charitable organization. And, oh, by the way, it's some of the best beef jerky you're ever going to have in your entire life. Guys, it's affordable. It's delicious. Order it. SiouxCityJerky.com. On that note, I'm going to kick it back over to you, John, so you can talk to our amazing Bears guest this week.
All right, guys. Joining me tonight, Tyler Yoder, resident Bears fan. Met him through my lovely friend, Kevin Hockerman. Great guy. Super duper knowledgeable on all things Bears. And it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, my man. How you doing tonight?
Oh, doing fantastic. It's opening night. Nothing better.
Football is underway. I mean, I was at work today, and the little bit of interactions I had with people, you could see smiles on their faces. And you knew it was because of one thing. It's football's back. You go through that little lull in the summer where it's like you're not really quite sure what to do with yourself, and then all of a sudden football rolls around, and then you know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to cheer for your team hard. And from all accounts, I mean, I met you one time, and from all accounts, you cheer for the Bears hard, and I love that. I love that. And all that does is make our rivalry between the Bears and the Packers that much better when we can have legit conversations about where our teams are at and all that goodness. I mean, Tyler, what, like, can you just, like, describe to me, like, how you became a Bears fan and, you know, a little bit about what the Bears mean to you personally?
Oh, for sure. So I actually born and raised in Indianapolis, so by all rights, I should probably be a Colts fan. But my entire family is pretty much from Northwest Indiana. So they all grew up on all Chicagoland sports, Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs and Sox on both sides of the family. I myself am a Sox fan, so not too much fun right now, but in a couple of years, I feel like.
No, that's awesome. And so, you've been a Bears fan your whole life.
Oh yeah.
And you guys have had some highs and lows. I mean, you're pretty much close to the same age that I am. You know, you guys have gone through many quarterbacks, you've gone through coaches. I mean, and I think that there's reason now for you guys to have some pretty solid optimism going forward for the next, you know, at least few seasons here. And we're going to get into that. I mean, obviously you guys made a sweet, sweet, sweet pickup in Khalil Mack. Congratulations. Congratulations. Number one.
Thank you.
It's got to feel good. It's got to feel good.
And through the moon.
The first question I have for you, Tyler, is how much did the level of optimism change when you guys traded for Khalil Mack?
I'll tell you. So before that trade happens, I was of the mind that we would have somewhere in the range of 6-10 being our floor and maybe 9-7 being our ceiling.
Okay.
I was kind of expecting close to 8-8, somewhere between 7-9 and 9-7. just because I think we do have, we had a solid defense before the Mac trade. I mean, if you look at last season in pretty much any statistical category, the Bears were in at least the top half of the league, if not the top 10. So I felt like between that and getting the weapons that we got from Mitch, I felt like we were going to take some steps forward, but wouldn't be able to really compete for a playoff berth just because of how tough our division is. I mean, NFC North might be the most stacked division in football this year.
It's very, very possible.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that Mac trade, there's something just about getting a premier player. I mean, whether it be through the draft, I mean, we got some great players in the draft this year, or acquiring them the way that we did. I was in disbelief, honestly. I didn't believe it. I thought it was a fake tweet someone put together on Photoshop or something. But when I saw it, I mean, I immediately just started talking to all of my Bears fan buddies, everyone in my family. It was just like, we got Khalil Mack. Like, it's definitely bumped up the optimism.
Did you ever hear the story about Pretty Boy Assassin and his mom telling him about Khalil Mack?
Oh yeah, how he didn't believe her, so he just told her to quit bugging him because he was sleeping.
Yes, that's I actually heard that story today, and I was like, how funny is that? I mean, that's a great story. But you
it's
know
great.
What?
Charles Leno, actually, our left tackle, he kind of told a similar story. He was getting interviewed, and he said his fiance or girlfriend, I can't remember what it is, but she was telling him that, and he was like, he said basically, you know, quit playing with me and all that. And she was like, no, seriously, y'all got back, and just started partying.
just bought a couple kegs and was like, all right, yeah, we got Mac, let's go.
I love it.
I love it, dude. I love it. And the next question I got for you, Tyler, is it goes. We're still talking about the same person in Khalil Mack. And this question was actually sent in by our what we would call our regular Bears guest that we have on our show, Brian Aviles. He's longtime list. I honestly don't know if Brian's missed an episode of our show. So here on out, Tyler, I expect you to listen to every episode of Back to the Future, yeah. I think.
I'll do my best.
but he said, What percentage of snaps do you think Khalil Mack is going to be playing this week?
Yeah, so I think the Bears have shown this offseason with pretty much all of their premier players that they've picked up over the course of the offseason, Allen Robinson, Roquan. They've shown that they've been pretty reluctant to kind of bring him in full speed. They've kind of been slowly introducing them along to getting back into the groove of things, which I think is going to be the smart play, and I think that's going to pay off in the long run. So Mac, honestly, he's going to definitely be in on third downs. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So, I mean, he might see, it depends. Like he may end up not really playing a whole lot on first and second down for the Bears, but coming in and pretty much purely as a pass rusher. A lot of it depends on how they've seen him in practice. And it sounds like he's adjusted pretty well. So they may be able to throw him in there for a few more run stopping downs, but they've got a solid outside linebacker in John Lynch, who's fully healthy now, and he's going to be able to kind of be that power guy to help set the edge, which kind of makes it a little bit easier for the Bears defense there and for Khalil Mack.
Okay. And what now we're switching our focus a little bit to the man in charge in Chicago this year, and that's Matt Nagy. What's your early impressions right now of Matt Nagy?
Big fan. just you can already tell from his time as an offensive coordinator under Andy Reid that it's going to be a drastically different offense from what we saw in John Fox. John Fox did a lot of great things for the Bears in terms of fixing the culture and kind of getting the rebuild started. But you can ask any Bears fan off the street and they can tell you that the offense was very lacking under John Fox. I mean, there were a couple games last season where we won somehow, but Mitch threw like 7 passes. So it's not John Fox's offense isn't exactly the most high flying, but Nagy seems like he's going to be a lot more aggressive in the air attack, which I think is going to do a lot of good things when you throw that with a lot of the players that we've acquired and just kind of the aggressive mindset of the organization in general. So I'm very optimistic about Nagy.
And do you think that he's a potential difference maker for you guys?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's definitely going to be some growing pains here, especially in this first season, the first half of the season. The offense needs some more time to gel. We haven't really seen a lot of it in the preseason just because, you know, every coach tries to keep it relatively vanilla in the preseason. But I think eventually the Bears offense is going to be a huge upgrade from what it has been. I think it's going to surprise some people. So I definitely think it can be a difference maker as a play caller.
And I mean, I think that when I look at the Bears this year, I think the biggest question mark you guys have is Pretty Boy Assassin. And I mean, are you sold on him? I mean, obviously this is a big year coming up for him. What are your thoughts on Trubisky this season?
Yeah, so initially I was very upset with the pick last year. I was all in on Jamal Adams at the time. I thought that's who the Bears were going to go for at three. Was initially not too happy with the way that trade-up worked, but from watching Mitch and watching how he's played, he's been able to show a lot of poise in the pocket. He's got wheels, able to place the ball really well. He didn't get a lot of really good looks just because of the way the offense was geared, and, you know, he played not a lot of games at quarterback before coming into the NFL. So I think even this year there's going to be some growing pains with him, and I feel like it's not going to be a perfect season. Like, we're not going to see a Nick Foles-type 27-2 touchdown-to-pick ratio, you know what I mean? But I think that there's going to be a pretty significant leap forward. And with the way that they've acquired talent this offseason, it's pretty much on Mitch's shoulders, Mitch and Nagy's. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I do have faith. I think Mitch definitely has he's going to be the franchise guy for us going forward.
Now I'm going to ask you the fun question. How is this game going to go down on Sunday, Tyler? let's have some fun here. Let's have some fun here. This is week one, Packers versus Bears. I mean, this is how you kick off a season in my mind. It's the longest rivalry in NFL history. Yep. Maybe one of the most heated. This is how you start off the NFL season. And I want to hear from your perspective how the game is going to go on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, 100th anniversary of the Green Bay Packers, opening night Sunday night at Lambeau. I mean, you can't really think of a better way to start the season as a Bears fan. And before this past weekend, I would have been happy with a close game. But even trying to take out as much of the Saturday Night Live super fan out of me as possible, I feel like I feel like the Bears could actually do it. I mean, they've shown a very strange talent for kind of throwing a wrench in big celebratory games. They did it with the Niners opening up their brand new stadium a few years back. Obviously, we have my second biggest highlight as a Bears fan, Brett Favre night from a couple years ago. I said second biggest.
It was a respectable win.
It was a fun game to watch. That's for sure. I think the Bears could steal it. I mean, the Packers have a really good team, but they got a really young defense, especially there in the defensive backfield. I think your guys' corners are going to end up being really good players, some studs for you guys, but it might just take a while for them to get adjusted to the speed of the NFL. And, I mean, kind of like with the season in general, I think a lot of it's going to be on Mitch. I think the defense has the talent to not stop Rodgers, but at least try to contain him so that he's not, you know, putting up 50 burgers on the Bears like back a couple of years ago. But I honestly think the Bears can do it. If you were going to ask me for a score, the homer in me says, if you're going to ask me for a score, the homer in me says, like, you know, like, oh, like 35-30 Bears. But realistically, I think it's going to end up being something like 32-27. For Green Bay.
Okay. I mean, that's some points being slung right there. Those are some big old points on the board right there. And I obviously I don't want to see the Packers get involved in a shootout, because those games just get that'd almost be too much for week one. I mean, but if that's the way it unfolds, man, we're in for a good one. Tyler, are you doing anything for the Bears, like potentially? Where are you on Twitter, Facebook? If people loved what they heard tonight, how can they see your views about the Bears the rest of the season, per se?
I don't personally have a Twitter. I do have a personal Facebook. I don't really post a ton on there. I think the most social media I do, I post on the Chicago Bears subreddit quite a bit. But, you know, I've been looking to maybe get into writing. I'm trying to get back into it. You know, work's always going to take precedence over anything like that. But yes, it's sir. Something that I've been doing a lot. So I might try to get back into that this season, do a few write-ups for the Bears here and there.
I tell you what, man, you know, we're talking to each other on a Thursday night. It's been very, very busy week at work for me personally. And I just got to say that when I get this time to just sit down, relax and talk some Packer football, it's chicken noodle soup for the soul. I'll tell you that much. So regardless of what work is like, I would say make the time, man. If it's something that you want to do, just go for it, brother. Just go for it. I know. And in the conversations I've had with you about the Bears, and I'm like, you know your stuff, and it's awesome when you get to share your views on something that you're passionate about, and people enjoy it, and they give you feedback, and it's an awesome avenue to just kind of, you know, get away from the work grind. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
absolutely. So if things should pan out, we'll definitely give you a shout out, brother, and you just let us know what it is you're writing on, and we'll make it happen. But more than anything, I just appreciate the time that you spent with us tonight. Go Pack, go the whole season. And it's going to be a fun one. I think you stated a very good point early on, and that's the NFC North is no joke. Every single team in this division can beat any other team in the division any given week. It's just the talent is there on all the rosters on all four teams. So it's going to be a fun one. I wouldn't want any other opponent to start off week one. So we're in for a good one. Again, Tyler, I appreciate the time, and hopefully we get to do this again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. If you ever need another Bears caller again for Bears week, just let me know. I appreciate the time you guys have given me as well, and I'll definitely keep you guys in contact if I ever get that writing stuff kicked off.
But, I love it. I love it, brother.
Have fun for the rest of the weekend.
Yes, sir. You have a great weekend, and we'll chit chat soon, my man.
Sounds good. Bear down.
All right, guys. That was Tyler Yoder. Appreciate the time. We will now continue on in our Packers coverage.
Oh yeah, we're back. We're back for the Twitter questions.
Yes.
Like the favorite segment of all time of every single show we've ever done since we started doing this.
Always. And we got some that's really going to help us preview this game and season overall. So got some good stuff this week.
I think it like reminds me that there's actually a couple crazy people out there that listen to our podcast.
Yeah, there's like two or three.
Yeah, and that they will send us questions because they think that we sort of know things, and I don't get it. I still don't get it, but maybe they just want to send us these questions so they can like laugh at us. It could be that too.
Well, I want to quit now because that's all I'm going to be able to think of. Oh my goodness. I feel so taken advantage of right now.
We are being used for laughter. It's fine. Okay.
I enjoy being used, but not for laughter, John. Not for laughter.
Why don't we kick? All right. This is an honor being bestowed right now. Because this guy's listened to our podcast for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Thane. And you can find him on Twitter at TrackOnPack. He's got really good stuff there. I follow him. He's awesome. He's a great guy. Great guy.
One of our fantastic writers at Pack to the Future, too. Nice little plug.
A huge plug. I love it. And Thane asks us over under on how many minutes of airtime NBC spends talking about Khalil Mack. Oh my gosh. What a great question. I'm going to go ahead I'm gonna go ahead and just kick it off and say, I mean, the airtime, I mean, take all the commercials out of it, you're probably talking about 2 hours.
Okay, I would say so let's put airtime at 120 minutes.
How many
of those minutes? What's the over under on how many of those is Mac talk?
I'm gonna say 40 minutes.
I'm gonna say 119. And the only reason it's not 120 is because they'll spend an entire minute talking about Aaron Rodgers' return from injury.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The one other minute. And all right, another over under should be how many times Chris Collinsworth is gonna say, "Here's a guy." That should be the other over under. Here's a guy that knows how to play the position.
I'm gonna make that a little bit more specific, little bit more niche of a question here.
Okay.
How many times is Chris Collinsworth gonna say, "Here's a guy," about Khalil Mack?
Oh.
I'm gonna set the over under at 5.
Over.
He'll take the over. Now what if I said 15? Still over. Taking the over.
Oh, Thane, what a question. What a question. I wish we could spend more time on it, but there are many questions. Many questions. Although he was not able to be with us tonight, still in our hearts, Brian Aviles. Coming in with a couple questions here, back to back. He's going back to back. The first question, by the way, you can find him on Twitter at BrianBball148. And that the question is, the Bears have not had a great defensive player like Mac since Urlacher. How will Packers game plan against him?
That's a really good question. The way I see it, if you look at Dusty did a great thread this week, by the way, as soon as Mac was traded to the Bears, of the last time the Packers and Raiders played each other, and Bakhtiari just absolutely owned Khalil Mack. It's a beautiful thread. If you want to get jacked up for this matchup, it's a beautiful thread. I figure if Mack is rushing from the right, they'll probably just let Bakhtiari go one-on-one with him. Unless Mac really starts to give him fits. Going from the other side, though, if he's trying to blitz on, I don't even know who's going to start at right tackle this week. If Bulaga's there, there's going to be rust and he's going to need help. So they'll probably have a tight end or a running back or something, you know, chipping him to help out. And if anybody else is starting at right tackle, that would just be a massacre. So you might even just see someone like Mercedes Lewis being a de facto right tackle just to make sure Mac doesn't do a whole lot against him. So really it's going to depend on what side they're blitzing him from. I would say if they want to get Khalil Mack's confidence up, just blitz him from that left side against whoever we're going to have at right tackle, because that's either somebody not good enough to start there in the NFL or it's Brian Bulaga who hasn't played in a long time, so, you know, take advantage of the rust. That's what I would do if I were the Bears, and that's how I would respond if I were the Packers.
I have nothing more to add to that. I think you were right.
Intellect.
And then the next question that he poses is, the homer in me thinks this Bears roster is the most talented in the division, but QB will be what holds them back. Our thoughts. So I guess when I read this, he's emphasizing the QB position. So maybe for fun, we take the QBs off of every NFC North roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't think the Bears are the most talented team.
Who would you say?
I would say it goes to the Vikings.
I would agree with that. It's not a massive edge for the Vikings, but overall, no. I think their overall roster is better. The Packers are in the conversation for best overall roster if you're including the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Bears aren't, but if we're taking quarterbacks out of it completely, I would probably say it's the Vikings and then the Bears and then the Packers and then I don't, there's some other and team in the division whose name I can't think of.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're in like Grand Rapids, Michigan or something.
Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Yeah. The Gary, Indiana rundowns or something like that. I don't know. Something like that. Hopefully we don't have listeners in Gary. We probably do.
I don't think we even have listeners in Wisconsin, so I think we're fine.
So the last few questions we have here, Brian, it's going to be fun. They're true or false questions.
I love true or false questions. 50-50 chance of getting it right.
Literally 50-50. And the person who sent these in is Dork Packer Fans on Twitter at Dork Packer Fans, DORIC. And pretty much, if we want to elaborate on these, we can. But yeah, 50-50. I wonder if he like has the right answers for these and he's quizzing us.
I hope so.
I want a letter grade from him on Twitter after he hears this episode, please send us letter grades, Doric. Thank you. The first question he poses to us in a true or false format: this season our receivers break more tackles than our secondary miss.
Oh man,
dang. We got some big wideouts. Cobb, Shifty, Devontae. We've literally seen him stiff arm grown men to the ground with ease.
Mm-hmm.
Our receivers break many, many tackles. And our cornerbacks miss a lot of tackles. Do you see any kind of change in that?
Not a massive change. So I'm going to go true and say the receivers do break more than the secondary misses.
Same.
Mostly because, you know, you look at someone like Randall Cobb, how shifty and quick he is. Like, he's just going to break a ton on his own. But I think the difference in the secondary is not going to be, oh, our secondary magically learned how to tackle. I don't think I'm not dumb enough to think that that's just going to happen. But you got the sense that there was a lack of an accountability under Dom Capers by the end there, that, you know, bad angles doesn't matter, you're in the next play. Missed tackle doesn't matter, you're in the next play. I think Mike Pettin is somebody who's going to be ready to bench somebody and get in somebody's face and yell at them on the sideline and, you know, get into their helmet a little bit and be like, dude, you do that again, you are done on this team. So I think there's going to be kind of an urgency from the secondary to, you know, kind of clean up their own house and get things figured out. I think there's going to be a lot of missed tackles in the first few weeks. Hopefully, as they get more comfortable in the scheme, they're taking better angles at that point instead of thinking too much about where they're supposed to be. But again, yeah, it's just not going to be tolerated is what I think. So if there's somebody missing a ton of tackles, they'll be benched.
First question is off the board. I hope we got it right. I really do. The next question has hot take potential. Hot take potential coming up, Pack Nation. You ready? The question is, Adams, Graham, and Cobb all get 10-plus touchdowns this year.
Oh, boy.
I want to hear you.
False, because they're going to get 20-plus touchdowns each. This is going to be a record-breaking season in, like, 30 different ways in Green Bay. No, for real, though, I'm going to go false. I think Adams will. I think there's a good chance that Graham will. But I think Randall Cobb, his impact is going to be felt more so between the 20s. Like, he's going to be the guy helping them get to the red zone. And once they're in the red zone, you're going to see a lot of Adams and Graham and even Mercedes Lewis. And, you know, they've got all these tall options now, big, bruising, strong, tall options for Rodgers to throw to that, you know, Cobb just won't be as big of a factor in at that point. So I see Cobb as the setup. And all the glory is going to go to guys like Adams and Graham.
Fine. I'll do the hot take. Yes, it's true. Do the hot take. Yes, it's true. They will do that. Why? I love Joe Philbin. For some reason, I'm thinking that the Packers are going to have that explosive 2011 offense that we had that literally was just setting record after record. I want to say that their average points per game that season was like 35 a game. So
that's
if
fun.
if we're talking five touchdowns a game, there's many to be spread out, and I think that. And this is gonna be straight up number one for Dusty. This is for Dusty. Cobby is gonna have a nice year. He's going to have a nice year. And from all reports, is what I'm hearing, is that Cobb has a pretty decent chunk in the playbook this year, and I would not mind seeing that. So I think that the run game is gonna be there. I think the run game is gonna be awesome, but the passing game is obviously what's gonna get points on the board for us. So, yes, they will all get 10 plus touchdowns. Hot take, bang.
Love it.
It's already submitted. So one of us is for sure Dr. Letter Grade from that. We'll figure out which one of us is right or wrong. The next question, which is our last Twitter question, Brian. Sad.
Let's do it.
Sad, but 12. Is our leading rusher over weeks 1 and 2? It would fit the mold of prior seasons.
It would.
But as I stated earlier in the show, I would say that I am a big time fan of the running game and the running backs we have on our roster right now. So I will personally say that that's false to me.
I'm going to say it's false, but for a slightly different reason. I like who we have. I like Jamal Williams. I'm not overly optimistic on how the offensive line has failed in the preseason to open up lanes for running backs. But Ty Montgomery, check it. Since moving to running back, and even before then, he has been a bear killer. An absolute bear killer. I think he is going to break one big run that outdoes what Aaron Rodgers will do in the first 2 weeks. Like one, like 50, 60 yard run for a touchdown.
I love
Ty Montgomery, the bear killer, is going to strike.
I love me some Ty Montgomery.
I do. I really hope Joe Philbin knows how to use him, man. Cause yes. Edgar Bennett didn't. And
no.
Man, he is a freaking weapon. And if they can disguise what he's going to do, get him lined up all over the place, man, he's going to be fun to watch.
And that's
Joe. Please.
I think throughout the course of the year, that's going to be one of the things that I will be looking at the most is what we do with the guys lining up behind Aaron Rodgers and the formations and what we see from that, because when you look at it, there's four guys that can legit get behind Aaron and do damage with Jones, Williams, Montgomery and Cobb. So it's like, how do you create an unstoppable offense? And I think that is a huge part of what could be a very dangerous offense. And I think Ty plays a huge role in that. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see, but I love how specific you were. That was very, very, very good.
It's happening.
You are mid-season form, and it's week one. Impressive.
I've been doing a lot of push-ups.
Nice. I knew. I could see the definition when I looked at you earlier on the Google Hangout. It was nice.
It's showing.
Well, guys, again, we love the freaking Twitter questions. Keep sending them. It's so much fun. I mean, the first question right off the bat, I mean, unbelievable. I think you literally had me crying of laughter. It was amazing. So please continue it. I know that we went into that saying that they did that for them, you know, in having, you know, the ability to laugh at us. But at the end of the day, we laughed because it was fun. So whatever, fine. But Brian, let's break down the game a little bit. This is obviously, you know, this is how. Did you by chance see on the NFL Network when James Jones picked the Packers to go undefeated?
Oh yeah, and it starts Sunday night, son.
It starts Sunday, bro. Come on,
let's James go. Jones. James Jones needs to have a statue outside of Lambeau at this point. That man, and he should be wearing a hoodie under his jersey when they make it. That man is an absolute Packers legend for so much more than just what he did on the field. I think we should start a GoFundMe to raise enough money to put a James Jones statue outside of Lambeau.
He is an underrated Packers legend is how I will put James Jones.
I really feel like we need to get a statue made now.
We'll start a GoFundMe. We'll start a GoFundMe.
I want it.
We know people. We know people.
Probably not the right people, but we know people.
But dude, what are you seeing on Sunday? Like, what do the Packers got to do to win this game?
Well, I does at this point have to start with making sure that Mac doesn't have an overly successful debut with the Bears. That's got to be step one at this point. But more involved than that, I think it's something I alluded to earlier. This defense, this scheme that Trubisky has never played against, they need to be able to confuse Trubisky. You know, Tyler mentioned that he has good pocket presence, but you know, we need to rattle him. He's the young gun in this situation. We need to be the adults and, you know, shake him up a little bit early on so that he never really catches his footing. If we can score some points early and make him play catch up the entire game, that would be awesome. I think that would go a long way towards winning this game. Really anything we can do to disrupt what he wants to do. And anything we can do, man, I just don't know. The defense we're playing against is going to be tough. They were top 10 last year. They added Khalil Mack. They added, you know, Lynch. They added a couple guys. I'm not looking forward to playing against this defense, I'll be honest. But, I think it's a game that's there for the taking, though. And, yeah, like I said, if that Ty Montgomery run that I'm predicting can happen early on and Trubisky has to play catch-up, I think we've got it in the bag.
I'm definitely seeing this first week against the Bears as, like, I'm not scared to play the Bears right now, per se. But come middle of January when we get them again, that's when I'm going to be probably more scared to play them than I am this week.
Yeah, and at Soldier Field, like, that's going to be a tough game.
At Soldier Field and all that goodness. So it's like, this year obviously Roquan Smith has not played a down in the NFL. He held out all of camp, and he did not play a single snap in the preseason.
Behind that helps.
And so it's like he's just getting his feet under him, and obviously Khalil Mack can step in and he can be a factor in Sunday's game, but he's not going to be as big of a factor as he's going to be when it comes to the end of the season when we play the Bears again. So I think that this week should be – it's not going to be a straight – because it's never – when you play the Bears, it's never I don't know if it's ever predictable, and I don't think it's ever, like, straightforward. But I do think that at the end of the day, the Packers do pick up a win. I'm excited for what the Packers can – will be able to do on the offensive end throughout the season. I think that there's some very, very, very solid defenses in the NFC all throughout the course of the season. But at the same time, I think that when you have 12 slinging the ball, you can't defend a perfect pass is the motto. And that's what you get when 12 is your quarterback. It just comes down to our young receivers being able to catch the ball, and just continuing to move the chains and have scoring drives. I still love the kicker. Mason's still legend, and it's great to see Joe Philbin back. And I think this season is going to be about what our defense can do, and I do believe in Pettine. So this first week is going to be very exciting. Obviously, Bears week one, you can't really get any better than that at Lambeau under the lights. There's going to be a lot of hype surrounding this game. And I think that when you add all those things together, granted, the Bears look like they're turning their organization around, which kind of sucks. I don't think that all the optimism that the Bears fans have right now, they should, you know, have that still, and they shouldn't really take this week into like consideration for where their team's going, because I don't think that this game is really going to be close. If I'm being honest.
All right. What's your final score?
My final score prediction is going to be Packers 38, Bears 17.
All right. I've got Packers 30, Bears 21. I think it'll be a little closer than that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Both outcomes end with the good guys on top.
That's all that matters.
With the Jedi prevailing.
Damn straight.
Dude, this is what you call a phenomenal Packers podcast so far. And unfortunately for you guys, it must come to an end. But not
all good things.
But not without a final thought segment. Brian, please. Please.
All right, I'm going to get the sad final thought I have out of the way. The news that came out today that Burt Reynolds died. That made me sad, man.
I saw that too, and I did get a little sad. I mean, it's kind of sad when I think of Burt Reynolds, but I also think of Norm MacDonald at the same time.
I think Burt would want it that way. But man, his performances, you know, Deliverance, Gator, The Longest Yard, the unfortunate Longest Yard remake, Smokey and the Bandit, like this guy, even made an episode of Archer, one of my favorite shows. A really good episode, by the way. So yeah, this one was sad. I hate growing up and seeing celebrities that I've loved for a long time die. This is a tough one. Man, he was in some really awesome stuff. To go more positive, John, I bought a car this week.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Ford Escape 2015.
Join the Ford family, brother. I joined the Ford family.
This is the second Ford I've owned. I had a Taurus for a few years.
Yeah, you did.
I did. That thing had some oomph. This thing has some oomph. Something to get me up and down the mountains of Colorado better than my poor little Nissan Versa.
Remember that we asked some way too Chiodos much of. In that Taurus?
We did a lot. It had pretty decent speakers in that thing, man.
Heck yeah, it did.
Good enough for Chiodos. For sure. But yeah, we are a two-car household now for the first time since my wife and I have been married. We don't have to share a car anymore. It's been an amazing week getting to like drive myself to work instead of taking the bus. Cause like so I take the bus. I've been taking the bus to work or biking for 3.5 years now. And before we moved to this house, it was fine. It was a much easier bike ride, so I could do that more often. And it was a much calmer bus route. But the one I take now is like the most used bus route in the city, or at least close to it. So it's always packed. It's always got the craziest people on it. And I was done. I was like, Beth, we have to buy a new car. So here we are.
And you did it.
A two-car household.
And you did it.
Did it. Finally, I'm happy.
Fords are great cars.
Oh yeah, this thing has adaptive four-wheel drive. It has EcoBoost, all the stuff that's going to get us up and down the mountains without, you know, falling off the side. Yeah, I'm excited.
Blessings.
Yeah, and the final thought is as John committed me to giving as a final thought, packtothefuture.com. Got some awesome new writers this year. They have been pumping out a bunch of stuff throughout the off season. Going to be pumping out a lot of film study, a lot of analysis, a lot of really good stuff going to be coming out. So make sure you're at packtothefuture.com every single day for the rest of your life. Just check it once every day. Just see what happens. You'll be enriched. You'll be enriched. I promise. But yeah, check it out. packtothefuture.com. Make sure you're ordering your beef jerky from SiouxCityJerky.com. Again, link in the description below. Check it out. You're going to love it. Yeah. And on Twitter, you can find us at PTTF_podcast. You can find me at PTTF_Brian.
Can I just say I'm really excited about Dusty and Coach Club getting some video work in this season. I think that that's going to be some amazing, amazing work coming from those two guys this season. And
for certain.
I would encourage all of you guys to just follow those guys and just see what they produce. Follow the page, and just do all that goodness. I might have two final thoughts. We'll see how long the first one takes. But the first one is, guys, I was not able to be a part of the NFC North preview. And I have the Packers winning the division, by the way. So just have that noted. I have the Packers winning the Super Bowl this year, by the way. Just have that noted real quick. I'll get back to that probably while I close the show so I can give you guys a little taste of how I'm feeling about the season. But mainly, the thing on my mind is that I just got back from the trip of a lifetime. I went to Ireland and England, and I don't think I could have made a better decision with my life. My name is John Jameson, as I've told you guys before, and I have a small little bit of Irish in me. And to be back, what I would call home, it felt like home. It was beautiful. I saw some of the most beautiful bits of scenery I have ever seen in my life, particularly the Cliffs of Moher. They were just unbelievably beautiful.
John, I have to give my Cliffs of Moher story.
Okay.
I love to throw this in my wife's face every now and then just to let her know how great of a husband I am and how selfless I am. So when we were in Ireland back in 2010, we did the day trip, bus ride all the way to the other coast, and the further west we went, it just kept getting colder and colder. I brought a jacket, and Beth didn't. Ooh. And I let her wear my jacket the entire day, and I was absolutely... The winds were whipping. I was absolutely freezing. And we got to the cliffs, and I'm like, okay, we need to go in the gift shop and see if there's just, like, a sweater or something. The only one they had for sale was, like, this, like, really expensive, like, hand-woven wool sweater that would have cost, like, $75 or something. I'm like, all right, I'm not that cold.
I'm not that cold.
So every vacation we went on for several years to follow was, Beth, did you bring a jacket? Where's your jacket? I love to throw it in her face, and she doesn't listen to this podcast, so I'm allowed to.
What a story, Mark.
But continue. How was your vacation?
No, dude, for real though. So you've seen it. You know what I saw.
It's gorgeous.
And I gotta say, I was blessed with just phenomenal weather from the moment we touched down to the moment we left. I dealt with rain one time in London, and that was it. And I was just shocked. It was so gorgeous the whole day, and I got to go to Stamford Bridge to see Chelsea beat Arsenal.
The Chelsea!
And, man, if there's a team that a fan base that is equally passionate about their team than the Packers, it's Chelsea fans, man. These guys, and I think the coolest thing about it, too, is that Chelsea fans, they're just hardworking, just pedal to the metal type people, where it's like, you know, they're not those stuck up type people that you might associate with London. You know, they're real people, and they love their team. And
I'm a Chelsea fan, and I'm pretty stuck up.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about the people over there. You know,
oh, okay, got
not
it.
Not the high snobby society of, you know, Premier League fans in the States. You know what I'm saying? But no, it was amazing from start to finish.
Nice.
Everyone was just super, super into it, and they were accepting of us. They brought us, we were sitting in the Chelsea cheering section, and they were like trying to show us, teach us the chants that they do, the songs, all that goodness. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. And I cannot wait to get back.
Do you want to sing one for us?
I mean, I'll just do the classic. Osgood, 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 born is the king of Stamford Bridge. I mean, that's beautiful. That's the best one of all time. But there's another team that I actually really, really enjoy, Brian, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers. And I was able to go this week to all three games against the Cubs. Unfortunately, yesterday did not go the Brewers' way, but we took 2 out of 3, and we are still in the hunt. So, Pack Nation, if you're also Brew Nation, stay strong. Don't buy into this mumble jumble that the typical Brewers, they're going to fall off in September and miss the playoffs. No, that's not the case. This team is stacked. So just buckle up, guys. Prepare for the ride and enjoy. And you know what I'm going to enjoy, Brian?
What's that?
I'm going to enjoy an undefeated Packers season this year. I am.
James Jones called it.
Was right on the money when he said that. And here's what's going on, guys. The Packers have literally done away with some terrible people in the front office and the coaching staff that have hindered us for far too long. And they're gone. They're done. This is a new regime in here. I mean, it's the same people, but we got Goot as a GM. And I think Big Mac is—he's revived. I think Big Mac is going to be back better than ever this year, and he's gonna coach these young guys up. And the vets on the team—I am sold on what they can bring. I mean, Jimmy Graham coming in—I love it. I love Tremont coming back. From all reports I'm hearing, is that Tremont's—he's back. I mean, he doesn't have to be the same old Tremont from, you know, when he was picking off playoff passes left and right to lead the Pack to the Super Bowl. He doesn't have to be that guy, but man, I feel so good about this team this year, and I don't see any reason why I should feel otherwise. I love what we got cooking right now. I love the offense. I love the defense. I love the way the schedule shapes out for us. I love everything about this season. So guys, it is time to get behind our team, to get behind the team that we waited so long to see. It seems like every offseason just drags and drags, and then it's here. When you listen to this, guys, it's going to be, the game is pretty much going to be here, and it's just, it's go time now. I want this to be the pep talk of a century, just saying it's time to buckle the frick up. It's time to go. This is it. This is our year. This is where Lombardi comes back home. This is where a dynasty starts. This is where we're not just going to win it next year. We're going to win it the year after that and the year after that. I'm not going to do that whole stupid LeBron James thing where he's not one, not, no, is no, that's not it. That's not it. It's this year and moving forward. This is our team. This is why we do what we do. Don't ever forget the love that you have for this team. We went through a rough season last year. It's behind us. We've forgotten about it. It's time to focus on the now, and the now is it. It's a Super Bowl winning season for the Packers. You can hear about it all season long right here at Pack to the Future. Again, check out the writers. Check out the film that we're going to have for you guys this year. Check out everything. We appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in to Pack to the Future. Never forget that we are Pack to the Future. Learn about it. Peace. Pack Nation. Pack Family. Go, Pack, go.